your education. Where did you go to grade school?
In the same building that I went to junior high and high school. In Watts, Oklahoma, you enter the east end of the building, and if you're lucky, you will come out the west end 12 years later.
And you did.
I did. Now, Dennis Pathkiller and maybe Ricky Quick and Billy Joe Hogshooter, they may have taken an extra year, something like that. Billy Joe Hogshooter, yes. And, it's fascinating because, inside of my first grade class are the names of Cherokee elite. Dennis Pathkiller. Dennis is descended from Chief Pathkiller, one of our great principal chiefs prior to our constitutional years. We've had a written constitution since 1827, and prior to that, great chiefs were like Chief Hicks and Pathkiller, Chief Doublehead. We had all sorts of these names, and their descendants were in my classroom.
Hmm. What year did you graduate from high school?
Graduated in 1973. And yes, John, as I sit erect in my chair and grab my lapels, I was the valedictorian of a graduating class of 13.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Right. In high school, were you active in sports, social clubs, or what did you do?
The answer is yes, because when you go to a school that in its entirety, first grade through graduation, senior years has maybe a total of 200 people in it, you will do everything. If nothing else, you'll be voluntold to do it. Yes, I was Citizen of the Year in the seventh grade. I played in elementary basketball. I would have loved to have played football, but our football team had been given a death sentence in 1964 after going to Copan High School. And to this day, we don't know, but there was an altercation that took place. And several of the referees were sent to the hospital with some broken bones, and the state secondary athletic board, they didn't suspend the Watts engineers. They gave us a death sentence for 2 years. And I was just in grade school at the time. But by the time I made it to a grade where I would have started playing football, we didn't have a football team because the school board was brilliant. They looked up one day and they said, we're running ahead of budget here. And someone said, well, we don't have a football team. We don't have to buy equipment. It's not an extra bus. We don't have a football coach. So I never really saw football played all through my entire schooling. Played basketball, ran track. And elementary basketball, junior high, and also through varsity team in high school, was captain of the team, and it was a great school. Even though the per man year cost to educate a child there was probably less than $300 a semester, and the entire school was on a free lunch program, including many of the teachers, except for it was a wonderful education, because in the 1960s, if you had student loan debt and you taught in an underprivileged area, the federal government would relieve you of your debt. So I took 2 years of Spanish. I had all of these science classes. I talked the principal into having a trigonometry class and learned surveying and did all sorts of academic elements that probably maybe schools in more quasi-affluent markets may not have had, because I had teachers that were from Northwestern University, not Northwestern Oklahoma, but the one in Chicago. My English teacher was a graduate of Northwestern, and she said, you have to read this literature, Mr. Hanna. You need to read Shakespeare. You need to read Last of the Mohicans. You need to understand what these books mean, and they would force me to write. And they would cause me to listen, and they would cause me to speak. And those skill sets were invaluable.
And this is all in high school?
Yeah, right there. Well, literally first grade through 12, right in Watts, Oklahoma.
And tell me, why did these teachers came from Chicago or Massachusetts?
Yeah, from wherever to. Well, some of them.
It was because of the Cherokee?
Well, no. Judy Witt, I wish I could have found her in later years. I'm certain that she's gone on. But Judy Witt was from Chicago, and her husband was getting his master's degree at John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And she thought, well, while you're finishing your master's, I'll get a job teaching in a local school. Okay. And she was a fish out of water. But I owe her such a great debt, because she caused us to have a thespian club. We put on plays, and it wasn't just a hillbilly farce. We did Cheaper by the Dozen. We did all sorts of things. She forced me to act. I credit her with me being a musician today. We actually had a kind of a spring play, and it was kind of a hillbilly farce. And in the between the second and third act, there was a long stage set change. And she was in our English class. She said, "Well, does anyone here know how to play guitar or know how to sing?" And of course, Sharon Jones, who was this young lady who had just returned to Adair County, her parents had been in the military in Hawaii. She had a phenomenal tan, I might add. And she said, "Well, I'm a good singer," but she said, "I'll need somebody to accompany me." And I raised my hand. I said, "Well, you know, guitar doesn't look that complicated. I've taken some piano lessons. My dad's a guitar player. I'll play guitar." Billy Joe Hawkshooter laughed, but he said, "Well, I'll loan you my guitar. I don't know how to play it." And so I went home, and I found that my father had a Mel Bay chord book. And I asked Sharon, I said, "Well, what do you want to sing?" She said, "I think, some Tammy Wynette song or something, and just something that will be out in front of the curtain during the stage play." And let's see, "You're Not Something Enough to Be My Man." I don't even remember the name of that song. It was a classic 1960s song. It had three chords in it, and I found those three chords in the Mel Bay, chord book, and I accompanied her. And someone said, "Well, you know, you're a pretty good guitar player. How long have you been playing?" I said, "For about a week now." And then I thought, well, maybe I should just continue to do this. And so I rounded up a couple of other guys, and we formed a band, and we started playing at school functions and local rodeos. And, John, I'm still in a band today, and we still play.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's just fun.
So are you playing guitar today?
Yeah, I'm a guitar. I'm a singer. I'm a harmonica player. I'm a keyboard guy. I'm a banjo player. I'm all sorts of things.
So you're the whole band in yourself.
I could be, but I prefer to be with my lead guitar player, who is Cherokee, and a professor at the Academy for Contemporary Music at the University of Central Oklahoma, Danny Hargis. I also have the chief investment officer for the oldest trust powers in the state of Oklahoma, Brad Zerger, who's a bass player. Our drummer is Charles Bartrig, who was a music major at the University of Oklahoma. He was in the Marching Pride and was a great secondary music instructor. And the bank's legal counsel, Brian Pearson, who's my brother, and he is a phenomenal singer and an above-average guitar player, and we still play music.
Because you taught yourself to play guitar.